He's a very humble man. Just ask him, he'll tell you. But I'm just kidding. He's written a book for his journey of over 20 years in Scotland. And he has some of those. And the proceeds are going towards Haiti. The Haiti missionaries that are there, the ones, matter of fact, we support some. I won't say their names because we are live. And I'll let him do the updates and so forth. But there is so much going on in Haiti. Afghanistan has overshadowed so much of the Haiti earthquake and all the lives that have been lost and so much needs that are there. Unfortunately, the folks know that there are missionaries who are pastors there, and they are kidnapping them so that Americans will send them money. And so there's a lot of fear. A lot of pastors are trying to hide. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So anyway, the proceeds that go for Barry's book are going to the Haitian missionaries that are over there. All the proceeds are going towards that. So understand, it's not just for profit, it's actually for a good cause. In here, I didn't realize that golf came from Scotland. You golfer fans? Scottish. I want to see you wearing some kilts out on the golf course. Yeah, no we don't. No we don't. But anyway, in here is his journey of 20 years. Matter of fact, due to loss of support, he had to come off the mission field from Scotland and come back, and, well, God had a different plan. But anyway, there's some awesome, wonderful encouragement in here, if I may share, Brother Barry. One of the first few chapters in there talked about when he actually got to Glasgow, Scotland. Had a furnished apartment rented. The guy who had the apartment had a car. And he sold him the car. Everything was taken care of. He gets there. They lose all their luggage. The guy didn't get the job and wasn't able to leave as soon as he promised. So he was going to be there an extra week. So they have no place to stay. They have no car to use. And they have no luggage. So they have to go to this other town. I don't remember, but maybe you can talk about that to some of the folks outside. But when he got to this other town, he had to find a place to stay. And he had all these connections that he had with these people, these house people, these doctors, these all kinds of stuff. And the entire 20 years that he was there, he had most of his dealings were in this other town. And if he would have never had that house not be available and he didn't get forced to go over there, he wouldn't have all these connections. And so sometimes, and what I mean by that is he's so encouraging because he says, sometimes when God puts you in this place and it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't handle that. Not one more thing come upon me. God's got a plan and a purpose. Amen. And sometimes we don't know that. So there's so many encouraging stories of their struggles in Scotland. I would encourage you to get it. It's a wonderful, it was a blessing to me. Thank you. And it kind of shows you what missionaries go through. And so maybe that'll be something for you to think about as we go through Faith Promise Missions in Missions Emphasis Month. And so without further ado, would you welcome Barry Williams?
Always good to be back here to see your pastor. Been friends for a very long time, and we're just getting older. He's losing hair. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but hey. But anyway, thank you guys so much for everything that you have done for me and my family. I think I'm one of the newest missionaries you guys have taken on for monthly support. Just to let you know what we are doing right now, we are working for our mission board, BEMA, which is out of Columbus, Ohio. I'm personally responsible for the missionaries that are part of BEMA. I help raise funds for mission projects all over the world. Once in a while, we sneak in here when I have a Sunday off, but almost every Sunday, we are someplace presenting the ministry of BEMA. Right now, I am currently working on raising funds for one of our missionaries that is in India. They had severe flooding at the end of 2020, and their church was damaged severely by the rain. A lot of their buildings do not have, they have a flat roof, but they really have no way for that water, no guttering systems and things like that. So all this water from all these heavy rains basically sat on top of this roof and eventually not only destroyed the roof, but destroyed the walls and everything else of that church building. We have raised, not me personally, not all of this, but we've raised a neighborhood of $60,000 for that church. Now, they, because there was so much damage to the church, he was allowed to expand the auditorium. And so right now I'm raising money to help. I need about $30,000 more to help them with the new addition of that auditorium. So if you would please pray for Javon Sebastian. He is the pastor of that church in India. And again, that is who I am currently raising funds for. So if you would pray for that. The other are the earthquake victims in Haiti. Again, because of everything that took place in Afghanistan, Haiti kind of got put on the back burner. But they did have a severe earthquake down there in the southern part of Haiti. Haiti is a nation that just it seems to go through one struggle after another. I don't know if you saw in the news, but their president was assassinated down there. And they just have all sorts of problems, gang violence, things along that line. The last 3 years, I was to go to Haiti, and each one of those trips were canceled because of the violence that has taken place down there. If you would, please pray that we'll be able to raise more money for the people of Haiti. There are many people that have passed away from that earthquake. They need food, they need water, things along this line. And we have missionaries that are on the ground, have assembled teams that to help these people. But if you'd please pray for them, I would greatly appreciate it. And of course, there's other projects I'm working on as well. Those are the two main ones. So if you'd keep me in prayer for that, again, I would appreciate it. Also, our president's son, Bema's president, 18-year-old son, Logan Louisa, if you would please pray for Logan. He's 18 years old, just graduated from high school, and he went up to the sound room in their church and just passed out. And they weren't sure what was going on with him, but just to be safe, they took him to the hospital, and what they found out was he has this mass of cancer in the front of his chest, 18 years old, and it is stopping his heart from beating properly. He is currently, I believe, on his third set of chemo. The cancer, they believe, is attached to his heart, and it is going around one of the main arteries there as well. It has been a devastating time, as you could imagine, for the family. And he didn't even get to have his graduation party, anything of the sort. And if you would please pray for Logan, I would appreciate that as well. Again, just pray for the entire family. The church down there runs about 500-600 people, and Tony is the pastor of that church as well. So, you know, with his son and everything that's going on, they desperately need your prayers. If you would, on the back table, back there, we have a display set up. Please pick up one of our prayer cards. And again, we will greatly appreciate that. You can join me on Facebook, Essentials for Christian Living. I write a blog about three times a week, and you just kind of catch up with what we're doing there as well. Also, we have prayer cards for Bema as well. And if you just pray for our missionaries and all missionaries, just not ours, this is a very difficult time to be a missionary and going through so many different things. Also, again, the book sells for $10 today. You can purchase it on Amazon for $11. But let me tell you, there's more. There's not really. It's just $10. And again, all the proceeds go to our missionaries. And today they go for the people in Haiti. And again, pick up a book. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. It tells you a little bit about what missionaries go through and what they do. Even deputation, just how difficult it is, especially for little children. And I hear some nasty comments in churches that I'm in. You know, we fail to realize that some of these old children have been in cars for 10, 11 hours, and now they're supposed to sit in church for the next two. And if you just keep some of those things in mind as you get a missionary family in, spoil those little kids to death, if you would, just for my sake, do it. And they go through a lot. I know there were some Sunday mornings our little kids were up, and we packed them in the back of our car at 5 o'clock in the morning. And we take off, have to drive 4 hours to a church, 4 or 5 hours. They'd still be in their pajamas, and we'd have to stop at a McDonald's and get them something to eat before church and get their clothes changed, things along that line. Then they have to sit through church. Then they have to go out to eat with the pastor. One time, my oldest son, he was about 6 at the time, 6 or 7, just barely able to read, and he ordered crab legs. How about a hot dog, son? I like crab legs, Dad. And so I don't think the pastor was expecting that one that morning. So anyway, just some of the experiences you have. Then our kids, you know, we'd have to travel 3, 4 more hours that afternoon, let them get out and play at the McDonald's playground or something along that line, and then do it all again Sunday night. And think about it, these little kids don't know their Sunday school teachers. They don't know their junior church workers. They don't know any of the leaders on Sunday nights. And so, again, if you just have a little bit of passion, I would appreciate that with children. Amen. And then after the service, we'd drive home 4 or 5 hours and get in maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And they would get up and go to school the next morning. And so think about that when you see a little missionary family come through your doors. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. A very, very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 28. This morning I'm reading out of the King James Version, and verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always," it says, "even to the end of the world." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning you've given us, and thank you for this opportunity to be here. And God, I just do pray again, first and foremost, Father, you save that soul that is nearest hell. And Father, we are so thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father, that even a young child can understand how to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And Father, we just do pray again, if there's any here lost, Father, may today be their day of salvation. And Father, we also pray for your people, God's people. And Father, I just do pray, God, you give us a greater burden for this lost world for which your Son died for. And Father, I just do pray, God, again, you help us in our Christian life and our Christian walk. Father, help us to be the Christians, God, you want us to be. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Gentlemen, if I could have that up on the screen, I'd appreciate that. This is what is called the 1040 window. 25 years ago, when we were going to Scotland, everybody was talking about this window. In fact, we've gone to Scotland. Guys said, well, don't waste your time going to Scotland. You need to go to this 1040 window. And a great emphasis was put on this window, and rightly so. But 25 years later, how have we done? How have we done? If you go to the next slide, I would appreciate it. 4.6 billion people lived in that area. 70% of the world's population lived in that window. 95%, listen, after 25 years, 95% are still unevangelized. 40% of the people that live in that window make $1.40 a day. 80,000 people in that window will die today. 80,000 people a day. Less than 3% of our missionaries are in that window. Even after 25 years of pushing this 1040 window, still less than 3% of the missionaries are in that area. And if you can take a look at the decimal point there, 0.0005% of our mission money goes to 70% of the world's population. Go to the next one. Where our mission monies go. 95% of our mission money stays in this country. 95%. 4.5% goes to people that are already reached. 0.5% goes to unreached people. Staggering, isn't it? Go ahead and go to the next one. And I put down here some disturbing facts, and the first one looks pretty good if you don't read the rest of it. $45 billion are given to missions. $45 billion in this country. $700 billion is spent at Christmas time by the same Christians who gave the $45 billion to missions. Think about that. $700 billion are spent by Christians in this country at Christmas. 52 billion gets embezzled in churches. And you don't think that happens? The last church I was at, the pastor ran off with $120,000. Last year, I was helping a church find a pastor. The previous pastor ran off with over $200,000. This is why you have checks and balances in your church. Amen. Okay? So if you take a look at that number, more money gets embezzled in our churches than what is given to missions. That's staggering, isn't it? If every Christian gave 10% of their income to missions, we could send out 2.5 million new missionaries. Wouldn't that be great? If we just gave 10% of our income, give our tithes and offerings to God, and if we gave another 10%, we could send out another 2.5 million new missionaries. The problem is we do not have 2.5 missionaries to send out. Many of our Bible colleges today have done away with their missions programs and pastoral study programs because of lack of interest. That is a failure, listen to me, that is a failure in our Christian homes and in our youth departments in this country. That we are not even producing enough missionaries to go out. 66% or two-thirds of missionaries on deputation do not make it to the field. Number one reason, lack of financial support. 66% who start out on deputation do not make it to the mission field. My wife and I had to come off the mission field because we had 17 of our supporting churches closed down. And when we came back, we could not raise any more to make up for that deficit in those churches that closed down. Our churches are dwindling in size, and therefore their mission budgets have to dwindle in size. Many of the churches that we were in 25 years ago ran between 250, 350 people. That was about the average size of the churches that supported us. I can only think of one of those churches that is over 100 people today. We are dwindling in numbers. There are fewer churches for these missionaries to go out and call. I travel around almost every weekend. I'm in a different church pretty much every weekend. We might think we are doing okay, but as part of a mission board, and what I see during the weekends, we are failing miserably. Not just a little bit, we're failing miserably. It has taken missionaries longer to get to the mission field if they get there. When we started out on deputation, most of our, I would say almost 95% of our churches were in a 3.5 radius of Worcester, where we are from. Today's missionaries are having to go all over. I think you guys just had Calvin Hauser in. I think right after he was in your church, he flew to Texas, came back, flew to Nevada, just to get support. These missionaries are having to go all over this country just to get meetings. It's not like in the days 25 years ago where, I mean, we were in 5 or 6 churches here in Mansfield alone, up in Ashland, Worcester, all over. A lot of those churches do not exist today. They're not there. There was one church that we were in down in Dayton, that Dayton area, that ran nearly 700 people. And they invited us to come back. It was a great church, a lovely church. I was excited to go back. Church service started at 10 o'clock. It was about 5 till 10, and nobody is in the parking lot except my wife and I. And I'm like, okay, it's today Sunday. Do I have the right time? And I was checking my planner and everything. About 2 minutes till 10, somebody finally showed up and opened the door. And I said, did you change the time of your services? And he goes, oh, no, well, we start here in a couple of minutes. A church that ran 700 people, I preached to about enough people that fill up your first two rows here. And the last time I was in it, it had over 700 people. And this is what we face. And this is what missionaries are facing every weekend. But as we take a look at this passage of Scripture this morning, it tells us in verse 19, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. This is the Great Commission. This is not a suggestion for God's people. This is something that we have been commanded to have a part in missions. This is given to the church, but who makes up the church? You do. People do. So every single one of us this morning has a responsibility of getting this gospel out to the lost and dying world. It is your job. It is your responsibility. It is why you are here. Amen. We have found out from our mission board. Now, I'm going to say some things this morning that might make you a little mad. I don't care. I'm leaving in about an hour, and you can be mad at me all you want, okay? We have found out from just statistics on our own that nearly 95% of those that are giving to missions are over the age of 50, which means the younger crowd really is not a part of missions. And what we also have been talking about, when those over 50 pass out, or pass away, not that they might pass out, but after they pass away, what is going to happen to missions? You see, every single one of you, it does not matter how young you are or how old you are, you have a responsibility to be part of missions. And it comes down to this: either you go to the mission field or you help others to get there. You have one or two roles, one of the two. Either you go to the mission field somewhere, or you help somebody get there. It's one of the two ways. And this happens from the beginning of time, okay? God had a plan. You could turn with me to the book of Ezra in the Old Testament. Book of Ezra. If you remember, the children of Israel rebelled against God. And what happened is he brought Nebuchadnezzar down to Jerusalem and hauled many of the people back up to Babylon. But after that 70 years, listen, after that 70 years, God told them they would go back to Jerusalem. If you take a look at this, you can see God's plan for missions even way back before Jesus came and died on the cross. In verse 1, it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia," so Cyrus is king, "the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia." And God used this man to send a group of people back to Jerusalem to build the temple. "The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." He says here, "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." Some went back to Jerusalem to build the temple. But not everybody went. And it says here in verse 4, "But whoso remaineth in any place," so those of you that did not go, this is your responsibility. "And whoso remaineth in any place he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with" what? "Silver, gold, with goods, with beasts." And notice it says here, "beside the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem." So above your offerings, even way back in these days, this was God's plan. Even way back here, he said, some go. You that are going to stay behind, you help them that are going. With gold and silver and things along this line. You do your part. And it's not of your tithes and offerings. It's above that. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Question I have for you today. Listen. Listen. The question I have for you today is the following. How are you doing with God's great commission? How are you personally doing? Because this is a personal challenge for every single one of us that are sitting in this auditorium this morning and all over the world. We have a responsibility to get this gospel out. Are you giving? Are you tithing? Less than 25% of the people in our churches are even tithing. These are kindergarten principles I'm going over with you this morning. Kindergarten. These are things that we learn once we get saved, right off the bat. But we are not even taking care of kindergarten principles in our churches today. Whether we're too scared to talk about it, I'm not scared, I'll talk about it. We're afraid of offending people. Well, I say there's people that need to be offended. We need to take care of our responsibility. Why? Because this world is dying and going to hell, and we need to address this issue. Amen. And it has to be done. Oh, don't step on their toes. toes need stepped on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures where?
On earth.
Where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But we are to lay up for ourselves treasures where?
In
heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There will be a day, listen, when all of us that are saved and born again will be in heaven one day.
Amen.
And that day's coming. That day's coming. It's coming quick. And when you get to heaven, my friend, I want you to listen. It is not going to matter in that day what type of car you drove down here. It is not going to matter what type of house or how expensive it was down here. It's not going to matter what type of job you had. What will matter in that day is how have you done in getting the gospel out? Who did you bring with you? How did you do, listen, with the Great Commission and missions? How did you do with that? That day is going to be a great day for Christians. Some Christians. Some Christians. You hear what I'm saying? It'll be a great day for some Christians. Because I imagine there'll be a boatload of Christians over there. They hardly did anything for the cause of Christ. They didn't bring anybody with them. Less than 2% of God's people have ever led anybody to the Lord. They didn't give any money to missions. I mean, can you imagine what a great day that is going to be where you have people come up to you from Scotland and say, thank you for helping Pastor Barry come over to Scotland. Because of him, I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and he's thanking you.
Amen.
Because you had a part in my ministry. This is going to be great. The Philippines, people come up to you, shake your hand. Oh, thank you for helping Brother Calvin get to the mission field. I came to Christ because of him. And having people all over this world, from Brazil to Russia to China to Cambodia to Vietnam, come up to you and thank you for everything you have done.
Amen.
A great day for some. Because I'm afraid we have too many Christians that are laying up their treasures here on earth. We're more concerned about what we have in our bank account than what we're doing for the cause of Christ in eternity. We're more concerned about having a nicer car. Nothing wrong with cars, amen?
Amen?
Nothing wrong with having a nice house. But when it comes before God and a holy, righteous God in his plan, then, my friend, we have a problem. We have a problem. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who is to come first? If you're a child of God, who is to come first? Seek ye first what? Kingdom of God. Not somewhere where it's convenient. First. Christ first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You see, my friend, you cannot outgive God. What you give to God, you will definitely get back. That's how our God works. And what's even greater is the Apostle Paul says, these people I've led to the Lord, they go to your account. Wow. What a great, great plan. Amen. And why I can't go to a Cambodia and why I can't go to Brazil. There's people there going for me. And I can be a part of their ministries. And one day I will see some of those people that they've led to the Lord. And they will come up to me. What a great day. For some. At the bottom of Edinburgh Castle in Scotland, about a mile down the road from that castle, there's an old abbey. This abbey is in disarray, but back then in those days, they buried people even inside of the churches, into the walls and so forth. This is what was written. I want you to listen to this. It's written in stone in this abbey of a guy that passed away. It says, one instance among thousands of the uncertainty of human life in the instability of earthly possessions and enjoyments. Born to ample prosperity, he for several years experienced a distressing reverse of fortune. Reader, be thou taught by this to seek the riches that never can fail and those pleasures which are at God's right hand. That was written well over 300 years ago. The pastor held up a missions card today. Maybe you're not sure, you've never really participated in missions. I think everybody could do something. If you can give even $5 a day, that's more than what you did last year. Help your children to get into missions. Give them a dollar every week. Say, hey, put this in the mission fund. You will see how your God works if you put $5 in. Because God always gives that money back. Always. Some of you that gave $20, listen, some of you that gave $20 a month, make it 40 this year. You saw God was good. You saw God took care of you. And if you gave 40, give 80. And if you give 80, 160. I used to teach math. I figured that out. Did you see what I'm saying? We need to do our very best to get this gospel out. Why? We're in the end days, my friend. This is it. And if we don't reach them for Christ now, we never will. 95% of that window still hasn't even heard the name of Jesus Christ. That's failing miserably. We got to get it done. And if we do not reach them, who is? Who is? I challenge every one of your hearts today to consider missions. And can I say just another thing? I deal with well over 100 missionaries just from our mission board alone.
And right now, I've never seen so many people that are literally starving in these countries, literally starving. There is no food. There's no way to get food. They have no jobs. There's no way to pay for food. We have to right now sacrifice in this country to see these people even getting fed and have the opportunity to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to do it now. Lost without Jesus, today is that day of salvation. If you're a child of God, it's time to get serious about the Great Commission.
Amen.
Time to get serious today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we ask if there's any lost without Jesus again. Father, we pray they come to a saving knowledge just before it's eternally too late. And Father, we do pray for this world. And Father, we are in a chaotic mess, Father, even in this country. And Father, I just do pray, God, do you help us to reach this lost world for Jesus Christ? Help us to have a part, Father, in seeing others come to a saving knowledge of your Son. And Father, I do pray that you help challenge Christians today to do even more for you. And Father, may we do our very best, Father, with what you have given us. Father, may we be generous givers, hilarious givers, as your word tells us. And Father, we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.